minutes away from Grozny. Father's gonna speak. I guess I'll start with apropos anecdote. I was once with Elia Mishkovsky's kind of brother. He was Rosh Hashiva Kfar Sidim. And it was at a family, the Sheva Brachas. He was an uncle from one side, I was a cousin from the other side. I was a young bacha, and I asked him where he learned. So he looked at me, and he's a very sharp person, very witty, very geschmacka person. He said, I learned in many places, which means I didn't learn anywhere. You know, so al kaponim, we've been in Grodny, in Klesk, in Radin, in the Varduk. So I guess if in 2 days we covered so many yeshivas, I guess we didn't learn anywhere. Grodno was an extremely important yeshiva. It was very, very distinct from other yeshivas. It was the only yeshiva started by Bochum, actually. And what happened was, Bochum got stuck in Grodno after World War I. During World War I, it was hard to go back and forth. And Bimela, they decided to form a kibbutz of Bochum learning together. They got somebody to say shir, the person left, back and forth. Reb Chaim Moshe was very concerned about it. And he called on Reb Shimon Shkop to go and head the yeshiva. Reb Shimon Shkop was born in 1860. He learned the Moloshin. He was one of Reb Chaim's special chabura. And Reb Chaim, he was one of Reb Chaim Briska's closest talmidim. And he had been a Rosh Hashiva in Telz. He married Reb Lazer Gordon's niece. He was a Rav in Bryansk and had a yeshiva and a malch. And he really wasn't interested in taking on a yeshiva because of the headaches, the fundraising, etc., etc. He was very reluctant. Reb Chaim Moshe pressed on him, and he made a tnai with him that he would not have the burden of fundraising. And Reb Chaim Moshe promised him. At the end, it did fall on him anyway, but al kaponim, he went to Grodno, and he headed the yeshiva for 20 years, until his p'tira, basically, right at the outbreak of the war. It was a short time, but Reb Shimon Shkop had talmidim and tells. Shimon Shkop was world renowned for his amkus and learning. He had a unique derech of learning that was a branch of Reb Chaim Briska's Mahalach. It was considered by many to be the deepest type of lamdas. Some people took issue with his derech alimut. He was. Some people felt it went past lamdas and it was abstract and far off from pshat. On the other hand, many people felt that this is the most emistic and deepest version of Torah. It became sort of a description of the people who held by it, held that this is the Torah at its best. Other people felt it was too gone. There's a chiddush in his sefer over other Rosh Hashiva Sfarim. He wrote a sefer called Shari Yosher, which was put together from things, and somebody actually edited it with him. But Shari Yosher was unique. It's not Shiurim Lefi Seder HaMasechta, it's topics. And he treats things topically, Chazaka, and Birur, and Karayif, and Roiv, and all sorts of things like that. He treats it in sections, topics, which really was unique. In some ways, it's not an easy go-to sefer. You can't just, you're holding this sugya, see if Reb Shimon says anything on it. On the other hand, it gives a hekif that's not really possible when you're standing in one place. So Shari Yosher became, again, for some people it became like a must learn, and some people felt it was sort of too esoteric and way beyond anything. He was Rosh Hashiva 20, and his Talmidim included some of the Cheshevs, the Talmidim, that there were. Reb Leib Malin learned it. He was part of the Grodno Chabura and others. He himself went to America in the end of the 20s to collect money for Grodno. because the matzah was very difficult. He was there for a year, and Yeshiva University asked him to say shurim. At that time, it was Yerushal Chanan. He started saying shurim there, and my brother, Rishol Glustein's father, heard shurim from him. He was in his shir. And he liked it. There were nice brachim, there were kablim, and the yeshiva made him an offer that if he stays there and remains Rosh Yeshiva, they will support the Grodno Yeshiva and from here, from there, and he'll, and that's it. You know, the yeshiva will be supported. He actually was knighted to take him up on it. He liked his talmidim, he felt comfortable with them, and he also was enthralled by the idea that he wouldn't have to spend time raising money and so on. Reb Chaim Eisen and other gedolim pressed very hard on him, and they forced him to come back, basically. He had a mashgiach in his yeshiva, one of Rabbi Ruchem's big talmidim. His name was Rav Shloima Harkavi. He's not very well known, but he was an Adam Choshev at Moed and had many, many talmidim who really stuck by him, Belevu Benefesh. He also, because of Parnasse, did not want to take money from the yeshiva, so a rabbanis opened up in a suburb, quote unquote, of Grodno. He became the rav of that suburb, and that's where he took his money from. An interesting side note is when he was out of town, and possibly the year that was in America, I don't know the dates exactly, he would give over the rabbanis to a toranut of two bachrim. So two bachrim together would sit and pass in the shaylas that came up in the shtetl. I know this because my Rebbe was Reb Zeid Lepsin Zechon Evracha, and he had learned there at Grodno, and he had some stories about when he and his chavrusa were the ones to pass in the shaylas. Obviously they were royal ohira. I mean, obviously he gave over to people who could pass it, and he felt comfortable. But that was part of the yeshiva. They took over the paskening. The yeshiva itself had Reb Shimon did not want to administer the yeshiva, not worry his money. His son-in-law, Reb Shlager Feivel Hindus, was a tichtige fellow. He took over a lot of running yeshiva. Unfortunately, he was also niftal pnei yeshver, and it caused a tremendous. He was very, very tzibrachim from it, for many reasons. A fascinating historical footnote. Reb Shlager Feivel Hindus had a daughter who became a communist or extremely left-wing. She ended up in Eretz Yisrael. She became a Chava Knesset, Chavrat Knesset. People make a mistake, they say it's Shulaman Aloni. Her name was Alon, I believe. Oh, Ilan. That was the name, Ilan. I forgot her first name. And she was a left-wing Chavrat Knesset. Her son is very famous. Her son was captured. So this is Reb Shimon Shkop's great-grandson. Was captured by the Syrians. He was tortured to death. And they didn't know if he gave away some very important secret information. When they got his body back from the Syrians and they're doing Tara, they found under his fingernail a piece of paper. And he had written in blood, Lo Bagadati, I did not betray. This is one of the Israeli, Hall of Fame heroics. A side note to that story is, they lost that piece of paper, and for years they couldn't find it. They finally found it a while back. They found the paper. Somehow, this is one of the famous, not a myth in the sense of being fake, but a myth in the sense of that. That was an extraordinary side note of it. He also had some of his talmidim were more modern. It was sort of a yeshiva where his mahalach of Shimon was very put together. It allowed for it. So Rav Unterman, who became the Rav Rosh in Eretz Yisrael, was a talmid of his. There was Simcha Asaf, who was a great researcher, an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, an extraordinary researcher at Kufas Agoinim, and so on. And eventually he sat in the Supreme Court in Israel. He was a Talmud of his. He had Talmidim who were sort of, it became later on, went into, you know, academia, became public figures. It was, there were Talmidim like that over there. His own yeshiva obviously disintegrated with the war. He died and the yeshiva was gone. The Talmidim attached themselves to other places, the Mir and whatever. His granddaughter married Reb Zelig Epstein, Zecherna Vracha, from New York. His wife was a shkup, and he himself was a Torah Das many years. He re-established the yeshiva that he established, was called Shar Yosher, and that was the name of the sefer. That was the reason why it's called Shar Yosher. Al Kapanim, Shartara was the yeshiva's name. Yeshiva Shartara, they named the Shartara on the name of the same name as the name in Grodno. But that was the reason why he took the name. It was his grandfather, his wife's grandfather. Al Kapanim, we do have also Shiurim from Reb Shimon. They were put together, Al Seder Adaf. They dovetail with the Shar Yosher, obviously. He wrote a Hakadama, a Hakadama to his Shar Yosher, which is quite famous. He speaks about giving mice of your time for teaching other people, that's a chiyuv. He's noted for that. He also has a very interesting insight over there. Why does the Torah make Gid HaNasha why is it an Issa? What are we supposed to remember with Gid HaNasha? And he writes, it's very interesting, he says, the Gid HaNasha happened when Yaakov fought the Malach of Esav, and he won. But he was left, limping on a foot. He says it teaches us that whenever you have any contact with bad or evil, even if you win, you're going to be affected by it. So a person shouldn't just say, well, you know, I'm wrestling with it and I'm against it. Then a person should be very wary and understand. That's what he writes. It's a Yedudik Avard from him. That's basically what the yeshiva was. Again, looking in retrospect, he did go over his Torah and Tells. He did give it over in Malch, but his main place was those 20 years in Shar Torah and in Grodno, and that became another piece of what we call the world of Lamdis. He worked very hard on developing the ideas of the Lamdis, of the Svaras, and he had a whole system. And again, some people feel it's philosophical too much, other people feel it's a tremendous shleimus. You don't get another Svarim, but be it as it may, that's what he had. They say over from the Chazon Ish, Hargosha. You can't say it over as Kielu. He said it definitively, but it was a feeling. He was Nifta and Rav Aper were Nifta right before the war, right? In that Tkufa when the war was starting, and he said, two such Yigayim B'Teira, his Chus would have helped. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take away the two most Miyagei B'Teira in order to bring the Churban down. That was a Hargosha the Chazon Ish about these two people. Okay.